Hello and welcome to episode number 36 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Patey.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal, fan of team in Final Four.
Very good,
I introduce
Robert.
Myself to people these days. Hi, I'm Robert. My team's in the Final Four. Hi, Robert. Good to meet you.
You Illini, sound very forced, though, in that.
That's good. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm being coerced to say this.
Yes.
I am being well-fed and
no one
watered.
Has to coerce me to talk about my team in the Final Four.
All right. I'm Scott Patey with a fan of Illinois, which is in the Final Four, in case you hadn't heard. This is the penultimate episode. This is the final episode before Illinois is in the Final Four.
Yes. And then maybe an episode before the final, and then maybe an episode. I can't say it. I'm not going to bring myself to say it. I'm not going to say it.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
One foot in front of the other.
Coming up on this show, Illinois got a tremendous send-off to Indianapolis just a few hours ago from when we are recording, so we are going to talk about that. Producer Maisie Garrett is here. Robert Rosenthal, of course. And then, Robert, I just got information here that I was working on this. I didn't know if it was going to happen. Trying to get a guest on, and actually just to help us get ready for the Final Four, an analyst is going to be on the program. Bruce Pearl will be joining us remotely.
Wouldn't it be great if you did pull him up on the screen? I just walked out. I just shoved my mic away and walked out.
April Fools.
Oh, thank God it's not happening, because I
no.
would not.
But in all seriousness, we're going to talk mostly basketball, but there is some spring football, and to give us some insight what's going on with the team this time of year, it's Jim Harbaugh who's joining us.
Okay. Now I know what day it is.
Yeah, you do. All right. Enough with the jokes. We got to get to it. Illinois in the Final Four. Before we do that, time to
light the eye. And it's purple.
Oh, got you again.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's the end of the April Fool's segment. Maisie, run the preview. Let's start the show.
March is over. The light is orange.
Yeah, I mean, it is April, right? We said Blue Eye March. We held the Blue Eye March. It's April. We go back to orange. We could go any color. We could go any. It's April Fool's Day. What if it was Green Eye? What is that?
That's kind of a teal. Yeah.
It's kind of a Chanticleers.
Chanticleer.
Sorry, I said it wrong. It's a coastal Carolina thing.
I don't think anyone wants that.
No. All right, we'll go back to orange.
Okay. But
well, not yellow. But, come on. Get away from the yellow.
I'm surprised you went to orange, though, because before we started, let's say hello to Maisie. Hello, Maisie.
Hello to Maisie.
You expressed some concern about changing from blue back to orange?
Yeah, I am concerned about it. I'm very superstitious. I'm not superstitious.
Just
I'm
a little stitious.
Yeah.
Well
yes.
said. I took her joke.
But can you tell I'm rewatching The Office right now?
I can.
But anyways, I am very superstitious, especially when it comes to sports. And I think now is not the right time to stray away from Blue March Eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Blue Eye March.
That. Let's think about that. Let's talk it out here.
Well, first of all, this eye is starting to look yellow.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Okay.
And that's a lot like Iowa.
Yes. Who we beat. So maybe we should have that as a joke to them. I think we said Blue Eye March. We held a Blue Eye March. They didn't lose in the tournament. So there is that. But then it's not March anymore. So are we then jinxing if we are going to blue when it's not March? Was the blue the key to March and then orange would be the key to April? I mean, really, the outcome on Friday night or on Saturday night depends on this conversation right now. So let's get it figured out. Maisie, you think go back to blue or stay orange?
Personally, I'm an orange girl through and through,
mm-hmm.
but we're out of March. I understand it, but I think we need to keep the Blue Eye March. That's my opinion. Okay. You guys can do whatever, but that's my input.
What's your vote?
I abstain. Okay. I really feel this has no bearing. on the outcome this weekend.
I'm gonna go with Maisie. We're going back to blue.
Okay.
There we go. Blue Eye March. Blue Eye April. Blue Eye Final Four.
I think that's the right call, only because there's some people that are going to be concerned.
Yes, yes.
I think it's in deference.
And also, people who only listen to the audio, the podcast version of this, have already tuned out of like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
I don't care. Talk about the
hoopy
ball.
There's an eye that we light. It can be any color you want.
Yes.
And we typically make it orange, except for March. It's been blue, and now it's April.
Mm-hmm. It's blue for this whole tournament run.
All right.
I wonder what color we're wearing. What if we come out and we're in blue on Saturday night?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Illinois is the lower seed, so UConn will get to choose their... presumably, UConn will be white, right?
So then we would not go blue against that. We would go orange. Yeah, we'll go orange. Probably
script.
throwback the script orange. Yeah, I think we'll go
script.
That's
not throwback. Orange. That's just script orange.
Oh, that's a good point. The throwback, the official 79 throwback are the whites, right?
Yeah, but they have an orange version.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think they wore that in 79. I don't know.
What's 1979?
That's when those jerseys were worn.
Oh, yeah.
That was
I think Flying Illini jersey, but I know 79 goes back.
Well, they would go with the Fighting Illini, the block letters, so will they do that? Here's what I want. This is good. I need orange scripts on Saturday when we beat UConn. And then against Michigan, I don't care what Michigan wears, we have to have one of the Fighting Illini, one of the 89 throwbacks with Fighting Illini on the jersey has to be worn Monday night when we beat Michigan for the national title. Yeah.
Okay. Now that we have the important matters settled.
Yes. What color is the eye and what jersey we're wearing? Because those obviously determine the outcome of games.
All right. Maisie, you and Robert were both just at the send-off from Bielefeld, the Athletic Administration Building, where the buses rolled out with a police escort. But first, there was a little pep rally. Give us the tea, as the kids say.
I don't think there's tea at a rally, Scott.
You don't know what the tea is? You know what the tea is, right, Maisie?
But isn't that like a rumor? Yeah. Like a hold on, isn't tea like, oh, I've got a, you know, I heard that she was talking to her ex-boyfriend and that they might get back together. Isn't that tea?
Yeah, tea, I'd say, is more like the gossip.
Oh, I thought it was like short for details. Like the deets, you know, but it's just tea.
You know how old we are? We're so old. Explain it to us, Maisie.
I mean, I think that, what is it? The tea is just the gossip.
There could have been tea there.
There could have been.
If there was drama there, I missed it.
Yeah, you're not a TMZ type of enterprising journalist. You're a serious professional journalist.
Very serious and professional.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. She's going to be out in the real world looking for a real job in like 2 months.
She's already doing that.
Look at that.
Yeah. I can't wait to find out where all that goes. But in the meantime, how about that rally?
It was fun. That's what started to feel real about Final Four. It hasn't fully kicked in for me because it's just been so crazy around here. Whether it's hopping on broadcasts or updating socials, it's just gone by so fast that it wasn't until we were there and seeing the team get on the bus and hearing the whole spiel from Josh Whitman and Brad Underwood, and Kylan Boswell got up there. It was really, really cool. And so many people were there to support in really bad rainy weather. And it was very happy. And a lot of little kids there too that were excited. So it was just a good time. Good vibes there.
By the way, hopping on broadcasts? Do tell. Yes. What's the tea?
The tea. I was contacted through the College of Media by NBC 5 Sports and as like a campus correspondent for Final Four. So I was on there Monday. They aired again Tuesday. They're doing another one tonight. And then I don't know if I can say this, but it shouldn't be too big of a secret. They're coming down to Champaign tomorrow to get some stuff done. So I'll be with them bright and early.
Awesome. Yay. Good for you. Congratulations on that.
Look at this.
That's great.
That's called the light the eye bump.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
I'm sure that's why.
We'll say we knew you win.
That's right. Hey, by the way, what did you we talked to Ella on Monday about what she did Saturday for the game. What did you do Saturday for the game?
I kept the streak going. I was at Cam's. Mm-hmm. It was a great time. It was madness. We got there. We had to get there at noon when it opened so that you could even walk into the doors. So we were there for so long. My back is killing me. My knees were killing me. It was a long day, but it was so worth it.
Well, when you get to be your age, the joints start to wear down.
That's right.
No, I joke that I have the body of a 90-year-old man. It's so bad.
It's from all that long jumping in high school.
It is.
It's on the joints, which means I shouldn't in any way do this long
jumping can be quite dangerous.
That's what I hear. So did you march down Green, go all the way to Alma?
Oh, yeah. Ran down to Alma. And by the time I got there, the crowd was so insane. I did not think it was going to be as big as it was. But for how many people were there, it was pretty tame. I think besides the people climbing on Alma, it was mostly just cheering and happy. There wasn't, sure, at least that I saw, anything crazy going on. But it also makes Alma Mater's really strong. There was at least 10 grown
preach it
men on her, like hanging on her arms.
Yes.
I was like, how is she not broken? She's just a very strong woman.
Mm-hmm. We did listen, when was the renovation, when they like sent her off for new patina and all that
more
stuff.
Than a decade ago,
was it? Yes. She got a facelift. She got a she had some work done. And she came back looking better than ever. And
alma maters are living longer these days.
Yes. So she came back looking really, really good. Learning and labor were they got more muscles when they came back. Did you know that the two behind her are named Learning and Labor?
I did not know that.
Yes.
But I think that makes sense.
They came back a little
university
more.
University motto.
A little more jacked. So, yes, it doesn't surprise me that they hung out well on Saturday night.
Yeah, she takes her fish oil.
Yes. Yes. She's been doing a daily vitamin forever, really.
All right. So, the send off.
Oh, the send off. We were That's talking right. about yeah. the send off.
All right. Let's. You were there too, Robert. But mm-hmm. One of the quotes that's circulating right now, Josh Whitman got up there and said, and this fits perfectly what we were talking about on Monday with what Will Leach's column on your site had to say. Josh Whitman said, you think about 89, you think about 05, you're now going to think about 26.
Yeah.
In terms of Illinois basketball, this is one of those years.
Yes, it's so true. It's so crazy. How long have we quoted those 2 years, right? 89 and 05. To have a third one alongside of it, and one that could be higher than the other two, it still hasn't fully sunk in, like Maisie was saying. It still feels a little surreal out there. So we should play this video. You know, Maisie, you can bring the screen up before I hit play here of the video. I was just looking at this while here. Okay, let me see if does my mouse work here? Nope. I don't know if my mouse shows up on the screen. You see the guy all the way to the left on the pickup truck? Is that a guy standing on a truck?
Is it in program yet? There we go.
Oh, there it is. Oh, am I not full screen? Are we seeing all of my apps? Are my texts up? Anyway, let's just play this. This is Underwood getting up and his stump speech to the crowd. You can't really see the crowd in this. They were all to the right by the buses, but this is what he had to say.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate everybody being here. You know, it's amazing what we stood in Auburn today, and what a remarkable facility, and it took so much work and so much effort. I stood in there today for just a second, and I looked at the banners, and I told a couple members of my staff, I said, we're adding some new damn years to these. I said, we're getting new damn banners in here. This team is very special, okay? And if you haven't figured that out yet, not just because of the wins, because of their personalities, because of their connectivity, because of their love and passion for the game of basketball, most importantly, they're playing for the name on the front of the jersey. And that's what all of you represent, is this great university, 60,000 plus students, growing, one of the largest alumni bases in the country. You guys, we're doing this for you. The memories that we're creating, I hope last a lifetime. I hope that we have a much, much bigger celebration on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever that is. That's our goal. But I said, this is my dream job. This is the goal from day one, was to get to the Final Four and win a national championship. We talk about it every single year. We're living that. Enjoy it. We're going there to kick ass. Thank you very much. Iowa!
So just as a reminder, this is in Brad Underwood's mind, not a, well, golly gee, we got here. Just great to be here.
Mm-hmm.
There is this whole, like, let's go win. This
he
thing.
Has an intention of what he wants to do in Indianapolis, yes.
You know, replacing banners is probably not cheap, but I'm guessing the investment is worth the while.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to, like, look through some of my photos of what the gym looks like and what they have on which, because they just redid it, obviously. You know, the gyms remained. They expanded them and when they rebuilt everything in 2022 at Ubbin. And, you know, they expanded out, so there's a couple more, like a half court on the end of the gym. So they redid a bunch of the graphics on the existing gym at the time. So now I'm curious what it's going to look like in there. Because
yeah, plus there'll be new things in the State Farm Center rafters.
Yeah.
Not only we know Keaton Wagler's name's going to go up, but
we know there'll be a new Final Four banner. And there could be a national championship banner.
Could be. Could be a new coach's name up there.
It could be the
point.
Biggest banner we've ever hung. Ever. Ever. In the history of the school. Okay. I need to take a deep breath.
We have a few days till Saturday. All right. Frame yes. this Final Four. Would you
okay.
frame the Final Four as our resident historian?
Okay.
Illinois went to a cluster of Final Fours at the end of the 1940s, early 1950s. They were very good. Not only was college basketball very different, but the national tournament was very different as well. So there's sort of, in my mind, two pockets,
sets. Yeah.
two sets of
That's
Final
a very
Fours.
Very good way to frame it.
You know, yep. Whiz Kids,
mm-hmm.
and then 89, 05, and 26.
So, yes.
I think I just framed it. Let's move on.
Yeah, you really did. You covered it.
I think everyone also understands that 1951 was a bit of a different time than
yes.
2026.
The six Final Fours were 49, 51, 52. So three in 4 years, old Harry Combs teams. And then 89, then 05, and then this. And then, you know, this season. The first three were surprisingly different setups for each individual 3-1. So it used to be, let's see, 39 was the first year of an actual, here's the tournament, who's going to win it. And then it still kept going, but obviously there was the war and it was a bit of, so it kind of rebooted in the late 40s. In 49, to get to the Final Four, quote, was just win a game. Eight teams made the tournament and it was basically all the teams that won these specific conferences, and there might have been like one wild card for an independent or something like that, but it was just eight teams. So to make the Final Four, it was win a game. Then in 51 is when they went to 16 teams. So Illinois had to win two games to get to the Final Four. But in 51, that's when they would do two regionals, and the quote-unquote, you know, the semifinals, the Final Four, was at the end of the regional, and then they would go to another location, like a week later or a few days later. I think one time it was like the games were on Saturday and the title game was on Tuesday, and they would have to go to another location for a title game and a third place game. So they used to play that third place game. So it used to be until 51 that you'd get done with a regional and then two teams would head off to the national championship, much like football does right now, and it's just one game. Then in 52, they changed, and that was the first year of the Final Four. That the it was still 16 teams, but they only played two games at the West Regional and the East Regional, and they took those four teams that had made the semifinals and took them. And since 52, that's when it's been a Final Four in one city and everything else.
And, so, and as a reminder, TBS had not yet been created.
No. I mean, I think, I believe that in...
A young Bill Raftery was on that call, though.
Yes, 51, I think it was 51. I don't have my notes in front of me. I believe it was 51 when we lost the semifinals of Kentucky on a last-second shot. Kentucky won, I think it was 74-72. They went on to win the title over K-State. That was a, I think they were playing in Madison Square Garden for the East Regional. Illinois against Kentucky was the final of the East Regional, which was really a Final Four game. And then, I think it was in Williams Arena in Minneapolis, is where the where Kentucky then took on Kansas State, who had won the West Regional kind of thing. And then Illinois played, maybe it was Santa Clara, in the they played in the third place game, you know, before the title game. So back then, that was probably the closest team to winning a title. When we had Lauren Tate on a few months ago, he kind of referenced that. So he's a student at the time. So, you know, we talk about students having a great run. Lauren was a student from 49 to 52. So he had three Final Fours and the 1951 National Championship football team while he was here on campus. Nobody's going to top his run. But, yes, so 51 was probably the closest tie game with 15 seconds left. Kentucky made a shot with, like, I think 13 seconds on the clock. Illinois had one more shot and had a chance to tie it, send it to overtime. There was no three-pointer at the time, obviously, and the shot was missed, and Kentucky won. So that was probably the closest of those 3 years to winning a title, was you lost to the eventual champion on a shot with 13 seconds left, and that was that. But it is that set of Final Fours was definitely something different. It was eight teams, then it was 16 teams. And it wasn't, hey, everybody goes to this one city for the Final Four until 52. So that set of first three Final Fours for Illinois is obviously different than the last three.
So now I think everyone understands that basketball in the tournament in the 1940s and 50s was different.
100% different. Yes. We have covered all the details. So,
and then there was a 29-year drought for Illinois absent from the tournament. Mm-hmm. That changed in 1981. And then... you know, Lou Henson built the thing up to the Flying Illini in 89.
Yes. So, I mean, I think most fans remember this, but younger fans won't. So, the biggest thing about the 80s for Illini basketball was that just couldn't get over the Final Four hump. Played Kentucky in the Elite Eight in 84. That's the famous Dickie Beal traveled, but the refs didn't call it when Kentucky had a two-point lead and the ball. And we were pressing, trying to get a steal, get the ball back, tie the game, send it to overtime. And he, you can watch the replay on YouTube right now. He took three steps with the ball. Refs wouldn't call it in Rupp Arena. That was the year after that game where Illinois had to go to Kentucky's home floor. No longer were you allowed to, you know, host a game on your home floor.
In a men's tournament.
In the men's tournament, yes. Women still do it in the first two rounds. But yes, so it was a rough way to go out. I remember watching it with my dad. I remember asking my dad this question: Dad, can they just put more time on the clock? Like I had come up with the solution. Little 11-year-old me was like, okay, so the clock's done, and it says Kentucky 54, Illinois 51, or whatever the score was. Just put more time on the clock. We'll just keep playing until we win. I mean, that solves all of sports, right?
Yeah, Or stop the clock if you're ahead.
Yes. But my dad informed me that, unfortunately, it can't work like that. And we lost. But then, you know, 85, you know, 87, there's the first round loss to Austin Peay. 88, there's the miss your free throws and lose to Villanova. You know, there were a lot of bad losses. And so by 89, it had reached this, can Henson get to the Final Four? And had a really good team, moved to number one in January. Then Kendall Gill broke a bone, and in the game where they moved to number one, beating Georgia Tech at home, they lose Kendall Gill for a month and a half, lose four games in that month, I think, in that month and a half without Gill, ended up not winning the Big Ten because of Gill's injury, got him back, went on a roll, got a one seed, and made it all to the Final Four, where something happened to a certain team from Ann Arbor that I don't want to talk about, and... 15-year-old me was devastated.
Yep.
It was rough. That was you know, everybody, I guess the younger people probably don't know this. You know what? I'm going to ask Maisie. Let's see if Maisie, I mean, this is decades before she was born. Do you know how Illinois lost in the 89 Final Four?
Somewhere in my brain, I do know, because that's when my dad was a student here, and he he's told me a million times, but I'm drawing a blank, and the second you say it, I'm going to be mad at myself.
So they missed a shot, and it went over Nick Anderson's head, so they got the putback. Everybody, all Illinois fans, came out with this box out Nick Anderson. They box out your guy, and you're going to get the rebound. I've always maintained it was a long jumper, and so the rebound went long, like way outside the lane, and it bounced over his head. But yes, Michigan got the rebound, the putback, and Michigan went on to the title game. And I'm not going to lie, 15-year-old little Robert had tears in his eyes and cried.
Makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, my heart was broken, but I was set on coming here for school.
Then Illinois was, though, poised to continue to be a very strong program, but as many know, and we've referenced a time or two, Illinois was turned in by Bruce Pearl for something that was never proven to be true, and might have kind of tried to entrap Deion Thomas, but nonetheless, Illinois was hit with some sanctions.
Yep. Lack of institutional control.
So it set things back a bit through the 90s, but it climbed back eventually with Lon Kruger.
Mm-hmm.
Got Illinois to Big Ten championships, into the tournaments. Bill Self then had Illinois on the brink, back into the Elite Eight.
Yep.
Infamous loss to Arizona. Bill Self takes the Kansas job, maybe the one job you leave Illinois for at the time, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Weber is hired and inherits an incredible roster that is really good in the 03-04, but then they all come back, and 04-05 is don't lose a game until the final game of the regular season, which happens to be against Ohio State, which is ineligible to make the NCAA tournament, but on a last-second shot, they beat Illinois in Columbus, and it's Illinois' first loss. But then they roll through the Big Ten tournament. They roll through the NCAA tournament, although shouldn't have had that much trouble against Fairleigh Dickinson.
What was it, a 10-point game?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm concerned. And then all the way into the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my question. Look at all this. You remember the 89 semifinal game because that's when Illinois lost and they almost got to go.
Mm-hmm.
In 05, you remember the Elite Eight game, the greatest Illinois basketball game in history.
Yep.
With the comeback over Arizona. And then you remember the national championship and that game still was almost a possibility for Illinois despite the officiating, despite the missed threes, despite the fouls. You kind of skip over the semifinal game against Louisville. I won't say it's forgotten. I'm just saying it's not the headline of the season.
Everybody remembers one play from the entire game, and it's Roger Powell shot a three, missed it, went running down the lane, and then had a putback dunk on his own three-pointer. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, ask people what they remember about the Louisville game. They'll say, oh, the Powell putback, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Now, I don't this remember game, the score.
So that brings us to this game, which we're whatever minutes into this podcast now, and we're maybe going to start talking about it.
Yep.
I wonder, will it be remembered? If Illinois wins, it'll be remembered, especially if there's some miraculous shot. But I think the more memorable moment might be you beat Iowa to get into the Final Four, and then whatever the result is on Monday night. Now, if you lose Saturday, that's where the end of the line was. But it's sort of this necessary step.
You're right.
It's this... We got there. I mean, take college baseball. College baseball doesn't have a Final Four. It has the eight teams that make it to Omaha. Mm-hmm. You make it to Omaha to the College World Series, everybody celebrates. And then, I can't remember what happens. It happens yes. until the final game.
Yep.
this is the moment you crossed into the Final Four, the marker of you're now one of the best teams in the country. That brings me to my other point.
Mm-hmm.
This Illinois team is in a different position than it's the other teams that we've talked about, because nobody has framed Illinois all year as the best team in the country. Capable, yes, that has been mentioned numerous times by anybody who paid attention from a national or local scene. Wow, great offense. The defense had to come along. Some things got shifted, but it's a team that is nearly impossible to stop. But it's a three seed, okay? Mm-hmm. The 89 team was regarded for a period of like, this may be the best team in the country. The 05 team was regarded as the best team in the country, and they lost in the national championship. The 21 team was in that conversation. Are you the best team in the country?
Mm-hmm.
This team has not been talked about that way. But it's not a plucky near Cinderella type run, because everyone saw, wow, look at the talent on this team and look what they can do. But I don't think anyone looks at Illinois as the best team amongst the Final Four.
I agree. And to that point of why Illinois is the sleeper here, I would say four overtime losses and a buzzer beater.
Exactly.
In sense, like, just change a few little things in those games, and Illinois absolutely would be talked like that. Lose five of five games like that, and you're just not going to, you know, you're with eight losses, you're never going to be mentioned with the Arizonas and the Michigans.
Right.
And so, yeah.
But
so,
you're still looked
but you're
at,
still there.
On paper, you're a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the betting lines, have you a favorite against UConn?
Yep.
And it's been talked about now, but the UConn game that Illinois played in Madison Square Garden on Black Friday, disregard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not informative, I don't think, for either team.
Agreed.
On how this game will, I mean, maybe a little bit on personnel, but how Illinois was using Keaton Wagler is entirely different. Mihailo Petrovic had significant minutes in that game.
Brandon Lee had 11 minutes in that
game.
Yeah,
and neither one of them are being used hardly at all at mm-hmm. this point. Just so much as, same for UConn. They've changed how they use guys. The problem with UConn is they've been there and they've done that. Maybe that works in Illinois' favor in the, we've been there and we know what this is like, and maybe the want to isn't quite as intense. Whereas Illinois is like, we're here for the first time since 05 and let's go. And it kind of feels like almost like Houston in that Sweet 16 game. Like, Houston's been here, done that. This is not the magical 26 year for the University of Houston. This was one of several in a row. And this is what you hope Illinois will have going forward. But right now, this is, like Whitman said, you're talking about 89, 05, and 26.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely, the feel is very different from those years. And I've been pondering in my head, is like, is that a good thing? Like, 89 was this, I think we can win a title. It's the Flying Illini, the battle to Seattle. 05 was, you've been number one in the polls since December 4th. It is national title or bust. And this one is, wait, maybe with all the pressure off, maybe with everyone saying, well, obviously the national title game is the other semifinal, so UConn and Illinois are just playing a third place game kind of thing. You know, whoever wins Arizona's Michigan is just going to win the title. Maybe that's the perfect way to enter a Final Four, pretty close to your campus, where there's going to be more orange in the stands than any other color. I really do think, you know, it does feel different and it does feel freer, and maybe that's what's necessary to, you know, mm-hmm. win that title. Think of the, you know, there's that Syracuse team is really good in like 97, 98, lost in the title game to Kentucky. I think it was 98, 96. Anyway, Syracuse, Kentucky in the late 90s, and Syracuse lost, and then they came back in 03 and weren't exactly the biggest like favorite, but they had a freshman, Carmelo Anthony, and their current coach, the guy who just got the job, was also, he was a freshman on that team, I think, and you know, stormed their way to a title with the pressure off. So maybe that's what's been waiting all along to get this one mm-hmm. title is, hey, just enter where everybody's talking about. Is it Michigan or is it Arizona? Is it Michigan or Arizona? And why not Illinois?
Right. And I don't know if it's irony, but it's what Josh Whitman told the fan base. We talked last time about his commitment here to Brad Underwood, to this program, and vice versa, the mutual commitment. But the NCAA tournament is not the best measuring stick of who's the best team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
A really good basketball team wins it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
The best team? I mean, it's like we talk about with the golf national championship.
Yep.
Totally. The best team does not win the national championship in golf. It's a good team that wins match play, wins the national championship.
Yep. Yep.
Illinois and UConn will not have to play a 5 or 7 game series. I would like Illinois' chances in that anyway. Mm-hmm. But a 5 or 7 game series against Arizona or Michigan, I wouldn't like it. But you only got to beat them Saturday and then Monday. This is a tournament about who can win 6 games without losing a game.
Yep.
And it is what makes the tournament beautiful. It's what makes this, outside of the Super Bowl, the most popular single sporting event, not single game, but single sporting event
mm-hmm.
in the United States.
Yep. And on top of that, like, what do we talk about here? 1951, Illinois has a shot in the air. I think it was Don Sunderlage. I can't remember who was shooting, but had a shot to force overtime in the semifinal and missed it, and Kentucky won by 2. Obviously, the Nick Anderson, the Sean Higgins, the moment in 89 in the semifinal, just Glenn Rice missed the shot, but Michigan got the rebound, the putback, and a 2-point win. And Luther Head had a 3 in the air with 15 seconds left to send the 05 title game to overtime, and it clanged out. So, you know, Illinois has been right there in this tournament where it's just going to be one play and one shot and one moment. And one shining moment. And now let's talk about it. Illinois has the best player in Indianapolis. I don't think there's any question that, you know, highest draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, Lindenberg's really good. He's a really good player.
But as far, like, he's also, what, 24 years old, 25 years old? Like, he's a man playing with kids. So, you know, this is, there's a tiny bit of the kid who in eighth grade is already 230 pounds playing on an eighth grade football team and just like running people over.
Yeah, I know, but that's the game he's in.
Yes, there's a tiny bit of that going on here. But, you know, over their careers, who's going to be the best NBA player of any of the players that's here? I think it's Wagler. So if that's the case, what if he has another Purdue game? I mean, he's not going to have 46 points in the Final Four, but, you know, what if...
Mark that.
Yes. But what if...
Taking receipts.
What if he has another takeover game? You know, what if there's... Gosh, remember when Michigan was in the final, and who was it? Spike Albrecht, who made like 22 threes the entire game, made 5 in the first half or whatever, you know? What if there's a Jake Davis moment like that, or there's a, you know, that all these things are possible because you get 4 really good teams and you're not playing 7-game series. You're just playing one game, and anything can happen. And maybe it's time for the shot to go down for Illinois.
We'll come right back. I wanted to bring up Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, let's do it.
He was in the room there. When they won the Final Four, won the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four. That and a few other items here before we get ourselves ready to go to India. This episode of Light the Eye brought to you in part by Logic Community and Logic Co-working. A fantastic space if you just need a few hours to get away and be productive in a place with printing and fast Wi-Fi and even a kitchen to prepare some food if you need, and just be in a focused environment that's comfortable and clean. What about some more longer-term options? Robert and I use Logic from time to time to prepare for these podcasts and get other things done. There's an option for students to come study for the day, and there's monthly memberships available for those who need a place to work consistently, be it for an independent job or something remote. Plus, you can rent offices. There's conference spaces to use as well, and even event spaces if you need to host something big. And it's adjacent to the Bake Lab and Napoli's restaurant if you're hungry or you need a pick-me-up. Logic Co-working's at the corner of St. Mary's and Neal. The next time you're in Champaign and you need a few hours to get something done, or if you're here in the CU community year-round, consider Logic Co-working. I am fascinated, I don't know about you, I'm always fascinated with stadiums and setups, arenas, baseball stadiums for sure, but that's another story. So this game is at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. There's images out there, we can throw this one up, of how things will be set up. I think this has been a trend now where in the Final Four has been in football stadiums now for several decades.
Yes.
Back in the 05 run, the court was famously along the end zone, if you will, and it was kind of half of the dome was used.
Used the curtain to split it off in half, yes.
Lucas Oil will have it centered, so basically mid-court is the 50-yard line.
Yes.
The entirety of the stadium can be used, and in fact, capacity is going to be over 70,000. So it's just an interesting setup. You have the element of the proximity, and it's a close drive, too, for Michigan fans, but also just the whole viewpoint and the setup. I don't know what to make of all this. I just find it interesting. The sideline seats have such a low slope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good of viewing that would be compared to the mid or upper tiers, but of course when you get up there everybody gets small. At the same time, this is all centered around what do you want to be there, and you know, I've seen people say, why do they put these in football stadiums? Why isn't this in Gainbridge Fieldhouse where the Pacers play, you know, mm-hmm. in a real basket designed for basketball arena? Well, because 70,000 people are going to pay for tickets.
Yes.
And the get in price is very steep. That's one reason.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, you know, I've been telling people are like, what is it too? Should I, you know, it's if I'm upper deck, can I even see? And I'm like, look, as long as you just accept that you're there to make noise and like enjoy the atmosphere and this and that, and you've made your peace with the fact that it's going to be difficult to watch. And for some plays, you're going to be watching the Jumbotron and not the court. If you can make your peace with that, that you're just there to wear orange and make some noise, then yes, by all means. Because, look, I was in the upper deck for the dome for the title game in 05. It wasn't, you know, it was, like you said, it was half the court. It wasn't the full football field. So you're a lot closer. But it was still, you know, upper rows of the upper deck on the end in a football stadium, you are a long way from a basketball court. Like, when Luther's three didn't go down, I was behind that basket. But I would have had to wait to see how the crowd reacted to see if the shot was really good or not. It was just the stanchions right there. I can't see the net. There was no way for me to know if the shot's going in or not. If you accept that, then it's a lot of fun. My favorite part of all this is that the color scheme they chose for the 2026 Final Four is orange and blue. Like all these little things, if you have the picture up right now, Maisie, all these little things are, where they have the walls up and this and that. It's this orange thing. The tickets are orange. People are telling me when they got their tickets, one is orange and one is blue for the semifinal and the final. So hey, if there's a year to choose an orange and blue color scheme for the Final Four, how about 2026?
Maybe it's a sign.
Everything is a sign, including the fact that we went with the blue eye.
I mentioned before the break, wanted to shout out Coleman Hawkins, who continues to be one of my favorite Illini that were here, and such a fun personality. And I, you know, he's kind of our Coleman is what David Mirkovich is now. He's kind of just the personality piece of this whole team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool that Coleman was back and embraced. I don't think he was never ostracized or anything like that.
But he did transfer to Kansas State for a season.
Yeah, but I think everybody understood that, and it was fine. You know, and now he's a professional, but he's still just welcomed back. He's in the locker room when they win. He's just one of those, you know, this Final Four is for, and there's a lot of the, in terms of the Brad Underwood era, it's for Coleman, it's for Trent, it's for Io, it's for Kofi, it's for DeMonte.
Yeah.
It's for Terrence Shannon Jr. It's for all these guys upon which this program was built.
Yep, 100%. This is in the same way. I remember that feeling in the 80s of Bruce Douglas didn't get there. Doug Altenberger didn't get there. Ephraim Winters didn't get there. Kenny Norman didn't get there. And then it was the team with Kendall Gill and Nick Anderson and Bardo and Battle and Hamilton that got there. So yeah, it's that same kind of feeling as the 80s were of good team just didn't quite get there, good team lost early, shouldn't have,
and then
finally breakthrough.
And then the 05 was all the great players from, you know, this feels vindicating for Dion just because you beat Iowa to get in, but you know, it was the Dion and the Andy Kaufman and the Kewan Garris, and then on into the, you know, Corey Bradford, Frank Williams, Sergio, Marcus Griffin, the whole Peoria, you know. I don't know what UConn's, who that theirs is for. This is just another year for them.
Well, then that means we're going to win. I mean, isn't it obvious now to everyone? I said this to somebody today. Illinois had 8 losses, right? The Alabama game was a 4-point loss, but Alabama was mostly in control. Then you had the 5. You had 4 overtime losses and a buzzer beater loss in regulation. 5 games that were tied with 1 second left. Illinois lost all 5. And then you have two games this year where you got beat. You were just beat, right? Wasn't close at the end. They ran away with it. Beat UConn and Michigan. And now you can just go to Indianapolis, get revenge for one, get revenge for the other. Bring a trophy back an hour and 47 minutes to the east, west from there.
Do you want to give a final vibe?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Like in football, you don't give your prediction until the night before. Do you do that here with Final Four games?
Here's my vibe. My son sent me a text. I told him, like, hey, I can't talk right now. I can't talk right now. Scott and I are recording a podcast. I'll read the text. That's what I'm going to do. And then we're going to put up the image. Let's see here. I said, can't this. He said, tell Scotty looks like Mr. Incredible's boss in the best way. We're going to put the image up here. What do you think? Are you feeling the vibes of Mr. Incredible's boss here?
Okay, I see the hair.
Put your glasses on.
Oh,
here we go.
My prescriptions are getting fixed, so I only have the cheaters.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
This is mainly for my mother and my sister.
Okay. So this is for Maisie to go back and forth between this photo and that photo, this photo and that photo. I think I see it with the glasses. With the glasses, I do see it.
I think you misread the text. I think he said he looks like Mr. Incredible.
No. There's definitely says boss here. So
Mr. Incredible's boss.
Yes. See, this is all the more reason to sometimes watch the YouTube version so you can see these images.
When I was in high school, I was told my hair looks like Rod Blagojevich's. So.
Oh, I like that. Or if you hate it, then I hate it for you. But either way, I like it.
Not the first association you would like. But hey, as we said last week, I like me. My wife likes me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have to put a button. People have inquired. On Monday, they wanted to know what producer Ella was doing. She had the option to go to the game with her family or the option to stay on campus and take it all in with the brotherhood and sisterhood that exists here amongst the students.
And then go tear down the alma mater. Yeah. Please, nobody tear down the alma mater. Thank you.
So for all you wondering, Ella has confirmed she's going to go to the game on Saturday. No wrong choices.
Yes, yes.
And then actually, interestingly enough, in the comments, people are very split on the whole thing.
Really?
Okay. I had somebody come up to me today and say, she should go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never. And then somebody else came up and said, I regret not being. I went to the game in 05, and I regret not being on campus.
Yeah. I remember seeing the scenes in 89 of what it looked like on campus and just the videos of, you know, students on Green Street and this and that when they made the Final Four. And I thought I'd have that experience in college.
All right, Maisie. Truth time. Do you feel conflicted? Because you're going to be there. You get to cover. You're credentialed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel conflicted? Because it's a very cool professional opportunity. But this is your last go around as a student.
It is. It's a little bit conflicting for me. I'm going to the game. I decided that the second I got home that night, I filled out my media credential application because I feel like I have to be there. But it does sting a little bit that I can't be there with my friends. And if there is a win, not being able to run to Alma and celebrate with everybody. But I think it stings a little bit, but naturally I would be really upset if I had the opportunity to go to the game with a credential and I decided not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Good call.
That makes sense.
You will have a memory for a lifetime, good, bad, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I think you'll treasure the opportunity.
I saw somebody did comment that they also felt that whole, like, I wish I was a student right now. Like, it's a very strong, I don't want to call it FOMO, but like I watch those videos and I get mad at Bruce Pearl for taking away Illinois basketball. Like if I could have been running up and down Green Street when I was a student, instead we had one first round win over Long Beach State in the 93 tournament, the end. That's it. My entire 5 years. So yeah, I'm jealous of what these students are getting. It looks like so much fun in the time of life when you just want to, like, you know, run down a street and climb on a statue. I love that these students are getting to experience that.
All right, next time we're together, we don't know for sure because a lot could happen between now and then. So we're going to play a little bit by ear with our Light the Eye through the Final Four weekend and the national championship on Monday. But we will be very much looking forward to, no matter what, our next time we get to get together.
I will say this, though, and I haven't said this to anybody. I'm making an announcement here. I am taking it with me. I'm taking this home right now, and I'm taking it with me. And if we win on Saturday night, somewhere in downtown Indy, I'm finding a place to light the eye.
All right, so we're going to turn it off here.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the next time this thing is lit up will be for Saturday night.
For Saturday night, beating UConn and heading to the national title game. So, yes, last time it's turned off before turning it on. Go ahead.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks to producer Maisie Garrett. Thanks to our friends here at the Center for Innovation and Teaching and Learning at the University of Illinois Inside the Armory. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll talk to you next or next time. We like you.